Hey, let's just call this a Christmas edition of Pucks with Bernie and Panger, our weekly visits here on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com, presented by Marie Davila Senior Living, Triad Bank, Urban Chestnut Brewery, Greenville University, and Fast Eddie's Bonaire. And as always, I'm Fox 2 Sports Director Martin Kilquin, and he is the Blues analyst, the award-winning, the outstanding Darren Pang, who joins us. And life could not be better. The Blues complete a 4-0 homestand, and it's the holidays. Panger, life is good right now.
Life is fantastic. I think when you get the spirit of beating some really good teams on home ice, and you go through a little bit of a winter wonderland a couple of nights ago, the snow's coming down, the roads are terrible, schools are closed, Marty, and still almost 16,000 show up and they start chanting Kroenke sucks. I mean, it has been a really good week. Yeah, for sure.
I always think of the Canadian guys when it snows, and I'm glad there was a home game and people made it down there. A few years ago there was a snowstorm and I was down there on a Saturday, and Hitch said, oh, for God's sakes, you people got to get used to what real snow is. And I've always thought of the Canadians. We get 3 to 4 inches, the town shuts down. Be honest, as a Canadian, what do you think when the Americans get snow and sort of freak out?
Well, I mean, the roads are dangerous because there's an inexperience in driving in it. So to be quite honest with you, that's the part for me, is just, you know, telling people to be cautious. It doesn't mean that, you know, in my experience, like, I'm not making fun of the driving, because that's not right, because they haven't grown up. A lot of people just haven't grown up with the snow, Martin. But I do think that, you know, that you should teach your kids when they're driving, and if you get a chance to get them out in the snow, like, take them into a parking lot, do some donuts, like, figure out how your car responds to snow, because, you know, there is a way to drive, and there's a way to brake or not brake in the way to turn. So anyway, I think that just comes with experience. I mean, when you grow up with snow and that's just what happens, then you learn how to drive in it. It's scary out there because there's so many drivers that are just so inexperienced, and all of a sudden they slam on the brakes and that car just starts going. So last thing you want to do is get into any kind of crash or anything like that. But I enjoyed it. I was coming home from practice, and I zipped off 40 because there was obviously an accident, and it was stopped. So I went down Market Street. I cut across to Sarah. I went through, almost
the West End. Yeah.
And sure enough, I'm going by this old hardware store, and it's one of those family-owned hardware stores. I've dropped in there a few times, and there's no one on the road, so I pile in, and they're unloading, like, you know, hundreds and hundreds of bags of salt. So I wheel in there. They're all big Blues fans, and wheel in. They help me get that salt and put it right in my truck. And I'm like, this is great. It felt like Canada right there. It was awesome.
How about driving tips with Panger? I didn't see that coming in this week's edition. You know, but you're right. It's both things. It's, you got to be serious. You want people to be safe, but it also is, we've gotten a little bit freaked out by just the thought of snow, and probably the media's part of that. I agree. I learned my best snow driving, I guess, experiences where I lived in Rhinelander, Wisconsin, TV station up there. It snowed all the time. It had a 1980 Olds Cutlass four-door who had horrible handling. I'd throw the kitty litter in the trunk just so I had some weight in the back of the car. But you just sort of learn. I didn't have a Tahoe. I didn't have four-wheel drive. And you sort of learn and adapt what you can and can't do. So these are helpful. I'm telling Danny Mac, we're going to put this in a different category this week. This is Driving with Panger and Martin alongside. But
Let me go back to that car you had in Rhinelander. By the way, isn't that's the home of Craig Ludwig, the former NHL defenseman?
Yes, interviewed him several times. He would come back, and he would go to their local rink and hold a tournament once a year. I think, did he play for the North Stars for a while?
He played for Montreal Canadiens and then the Dallas Stars.
Dallas Stars. Okay, no, he would, yeah, Craig Ludwig. The other interesting note, and we could talk all day about sidebars, but John Heisman, Heisman Trophy named after him, is buried in Rhinelander.
Jeepers. Wow.
I couldn't have been too far from Canada, because we're right below the UP. I bet if I crossed the water, I'd be in Thunder Bay.
Yeah, you probably would be, or Sault Ste. Marie. Yeah.
It's beautiful up there, the snow, but just make sure you get a car that can handle the snow. All right, back to the Blues. So 4-0, and every game's sort of different, but you beat Vegas. You beat Colorado and Edmonton, three teams in the West that could arguably contend to win the West. You throw in a great comeback against the Blackhawks. I think the quality of opponent there, pretty strong on this homestand.
I think that's what fires you up, and I think that's what gets your attention too. I mean, the Blues, they needed that. They needed to go up against teams, especially, you know, Vegas, to get themselves prepared for that team and say this is the way they're going to play. Because I think at the end of the day, Vegas Golden Knights are going to be right there. If they're in the conference final, I would not be surprised. If the Blues match up with them in the playoff series, I think it'd be a heck of a seven-game series. And John Kelly would like it because he'll be playing lots of cards there in Vegas. But that's another side story. But when you look at that game, the way they played, Chicago a little looser, but still, it grabs your attention when you're behind 3-0 with 12 minutes to go. So the Blues get that one done in dramatic fashion. And then, you know, going up against Colorado. So there's a common thread here, and that's top players. I mean, even Chicago, DeBrincat and Kane, you got four really good lines on Vegas. And then you turn around and you've got Nate McKinnon and Landeskog was on a different line, but you have Rantanen. I mean, you have got to pay attention. So now it's the playoff-style matchup game that you have to have there. And no surprise that head coach Craig Berube throws together Bouwmeester and Parayko to make sure that he's got that hard matchup there as well. And then you go up against a pretty electric team in the Edmonton Oilers. I mean, the way that Connor can play, and obviously Draisaitl created a lot of scoring chances last night as well. So, again, that became a matchup game. And you had, you know, Parayko and Bouwmeester, and that freed up Pietrangelo and Justin Falk, who I thought they were terrific. I thought they were, you know, besides the scoring chance they had, I thought when they were on the ice, they dominated chances for and chances against at even strength.
I'm glad you mentioned Bouwmeester because there's a guy, we don't really talk about him. He doesn't talk about himself too much. But a year ago, he was sort of a pinata, a punching bag. He was having some real bad luck, giving up some bad goals. And I think a lot of people just assume, well, he's done. And by the time Army's re-upping him, it made sense. What do you think happened from a year ago to now? And I mean, was he just a little worn out, or was he just having bad luck?
You said about he doesn't like talking. He doesn't like doing interviews. He doesn't like talking about himself. Doesn't like really talking too much. I love the guy. I think he's the ultimate pro. Last year, we didn't realize how bad that hip surgery was, and that he really wasn't ready to play. And once again, Craig Berube pushed all the right buttons. I mean, he made him a healthy scratch for the first time in his career. And I remember Jay Bouwmeester saying, you know what, if it's best for everybody, then it's okay. Let's just go ahead. And I think he proved what kind of a professional he was when adversity hit him a little bit. And, yeah, I mean, you can hear you're a player. You can hear what the fans are on you. I mean, even though you don't talk a lot or you're not the most outgoing guy, you can sense it. So it had to be tough on him. But once he got healthy and once they matched him up with Parayko, I mean, that's just been dynamic. I'm going to say that Jay Bouwmeester, last year in the new year, up until this point, I've seen him play a lot of hockey games. I think this is the most assertive he's played. I think his outlet passes are the best that he's ever had as a player. I think his reads. So in summarizing that, I think this is the best hockey he's played at his age, and there's lots of hockey left for him. So I'm real happy that he's re-upped. I'm real happy that he's got his game going, and I believe there's a couple of really great years left in Jay Bouwmeester.
So at this point, the Blues have played 36 games. They've lost 8 in regulation. That's pretty remarkable when you think about that. 36 games, and only 8 times did it end where, like, well, they just didn't win in regulation. There's some, of course, you lose overtime shootouts, but that's pretty remarkable. Now, turn into the Professor Pang, if we could have a segment here. Foxman West can borrow this. I've got you in a little lab coat, but Professor Pang, because teachers and parents will always nitpick a little bit. If you're looking at this team, this roster, the results, where would you critique? Where, if you had, like, you're the professor who won't give the A, what could they work on? Where could they improve?
It's hard not to give them that A, even as a professor, considering what they have done and what they have accomplished, and yet they still continue to forge on. I mean, there have been some times where that power play had the ability to win them a game, and it let them down for me. I think that would probably be the only area. The defending, the goaltending, the four lines, the support goals for, especially without Vladdy Tarasenko, have all been real good, from Mackenzie McEachern, you know, to now we're seeing Robert Thomas take off, to the Perron and O'Reilly line. You know, maybe there's a little bit more there with Schwartz and with Schenn at times, but, you know, they've been hurt by not having a consistent winger on their side. So, yes, I think the only thing is the timeliness of power play goals. That's it.
They're in the eighth
for me all the way.
Yeah, it's almost an impossible task. You have to be a real prickly professor to not give this team an A. I was just thinking, is there any area? And the truth is right now, not a lot to point to. And that includes the emergence of Jake Allen. We've talked about him in the past. I wanted you to kind of explain to folks the camaraderie with Binnington and Allen, because I don't think Jake can do what he's doing. He's competitive. He's an athlete. But if there was some sort of tension there, and maybe I'm wrong, but the way they've sort of handled this rise of Binnington and how Jake's handled it, I think it's almost allowed him to kind of have a comfort level now. Just give people an idea what goes on behind the scenes.
Well, I think, number one, if Jake Allen was a selfish human being, then there would be a divide inside the locker room. And if there's a divide in the room, that's not good, because you would have a half or three quarters of the players loyal to Jake Allen, and they would be, you know, they would be siding with him. Not that they wouldn't work hard for Binnington, but it is an uncomfortable situation when that develops. So it's imperative that the goalie that's not playing, the goalie that has to check his ego at the door, he's the one that has to be the ultimate teammate to make sure that the players don't go in that direction. So to let people know, you know, how difficult that is. The goaltender is an individual in a team sport. He wants the net. It's not like when he's not playing, he's cheering for a bad goal to go in on the other guy, but he wants to get in that net and grab that net and never let it go. And when it doesn't happen, and last year it was clear that Binnington was just going to get himself on such a roll that you have to just kind of sit back and say, this is fun to watch. You mature in a hurry when this happens, and I think that's what's happened with Jake Allen. And, you know, when Jake gets into that net, these guys are working, you know, they're working hard for him. They don't want to disappoint him. When he makes a save that might even be an average save, they're cheering him on like it was the greatest save they've ever seen, just to make sure that he knows how much confidence they have in him and how much they want him to do well. To relay, you know, some stories, when this team's on the plane and they're playing cards and they're hooping it up in the back because they've got their own music going, and they always add a Jakey the Snake lyric to a song. They always add Jakey in there, and it's fun to listen to. I mean, the you know, he's so much a big part of the fabric of this team, and so it's a great story, because it's been the development of a young man in Jake Allen that, you know, that became a really good goalie, that had to go through a tough time, that became one of the greatest teammates these guys have ever had. And with all of that, you get winning. And if you don't have it, you don't get winning, because you get selfishness. And that, in a nutshell, is the best way I could describe the goaltending situation.
And Panger, a couple of weeks away, at least till the All-Star teams are announced, it's probably not safe to say Perron is a lock. I know a lot of people have said the Blues can sort of push. You've got, you know, Petrangelo and Binnington, strong candidates. And then after that, who's the Blues forward? Maybe an O'Reilly gets considered. For a minute, we thought Schenn, but maybe the team pushes Perron a little bit. What do you think the chances are? I think we feel he's deserving, but do you think it'll happen?
Yeah, I mean, I would have to think that you get three guys from the team. I think, you know, Binnington's, if I'm not mistaken, third in wins. You know, and obviously what he did last year and just the way he is, I think. You know, he'd be a great choice, and Petrangelo on the back end, and then you know, probably David Perron up front. I think that in a 3-on-3 too, you look at the way that it goes. I mean, it'd be electric finding him, you know, with that shot and the way he plays. It's hard to say if you can get four guys in there, because if you'd want O'Reilly and David Perron there, if you could possibly get them there, but not sure if that's going to happen.
All right, it is Pucks with Bernie and Panger. Make sure you subscribe, Google, iTunes. That way each week it is delivered directly to you. Tell mom, tell grandma. Every week a little hockey fun right here on Scoops with DannyMac.com. We'll come back, a friend of Panger update, and I'm sort of stretching the boundaries of friend. We'll do that next. Great to have Urban Chestnut on board. You know about their great beer and the great beer garden hanging out in the Grove. They've expanded. There's just been the explosion of craft beers. But boy, it goes way beyond that with Urban Chestnut. They have become part of the St. Louis scene. I love that Urban Underdog. If you haven't had it, it's a great American lager. A lot of beer snobs out there. I get it. My wife is a perfect example. Not a huge beer fan. I rolled out a little Urban Underdog. She absolutely loved it. So whatever your palate is, they've got a taste for you. You know about the Panger Award presented by the good folks at Urban Chestnut every single week. Huge hockey fans. And really, you can find their product now all around town, whether you're at the Schnucks Grocery Store or if you're at the sporting event, Blues game. How about at the zoo? That's right. I had the Grizzly Ridge Colch the other day. They have expanded. It's not just the great product. It's the great people behind it. It's more than just this beer that you're enjoying. They're part of the movement in St. Louis, getting things done and changing the whole area there, the Grove. And if you talk about the connection with the MLS, I think we had the big celebration with the MLS for the Lou. That was at Urban Chestnut in the Grove location. You can find them all around town. I started with the Wingnut. Still love that. Moved into the Zwickel. Currently just hooked on Urban Underdog. Check them out. Neighborhood grocery store, liquor store, guaranteed all around town. It's Urban Chestnut, part of the St. Louis sports community.
Since 1960, serving the families of St. Louis, Marie Davila Senior Living. At the corner of Clayton and Wideman Road, the beautiful fountain greets you for the 22-acre campus. Full range of senior living. Independent living at the Villa Estate. Skilled nursing, memory care. They have it all. Spacious dining room, salon, transportation around town, exercise and pool, private rooms, hands-on care. You're not a resident of Marie Davila, you are considered a guest. Fred and Mary Kay Weezahan and their sons live on site. It is family run and it has that family feel. You've heard Tony and I talk about how this was home for the legendary Red Shandings for many years. He was also on the board and helped the original owners start Marie Davila back in 1960. MarieDavila.com. We suggest you go online and schedule a tour.
Here's the owner of the world-famous Fast Eddie's Bonaire, Eddie Scholler, and Hall of Fame hockey legend Brett Hull.
Eddie, I was just telling some friends about Fast Eddie's Bonaire, and I just didn't have the words to describe it.
Well, Brett, I've had that same problems for years. The words I use are, you know, it's a lot of fun, it's huge, it's an adventure.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. This place is more than a bar. I mean, the coldest beer, the best live entertainment, everyone knows about the great food, but Fast Eddie's is far more than that.
I'll tell you what, it's kind of like, I don't know anybody that's been to heaven, but I'll bet you that's hard to describe too.
Well, I sure hope I get to heaven,
telling
I can
me.
Tell you that.
You're telling me.
Fast Eddie's experience is tough to describe, and all I know is it is fun.
Man, I'll tell you what, we've been here 35 years, and it explains itself. I don't know if it's as good as heaven, but it might be Kevin on Earth.
Well, I would write it down in your notes on your phone, because once you get home, the experience is going to be hard to remember. I've been all over the world, and there's only one Fast Eddie's Bonaire. So if you're 21, head over to Clark Bridge to Fast Eddie's Bonaire in Alton.
All right, you just heard the commercial. That's Fast Eddie hanging with Brett Hull. That's a party I need to be invited to. And joining us on the line, the one and only Fast Eddie from Fast Eddie's Bonaire in Alton, where they're always serving up a lot of fun, great food. You got to tell us, hanging with Brett Hull, you got an idea what that might be like. What was it actually like in person?
I'd say imagine it and then multiply it, because it's real. That's him. That's who it is. And it's that much fun, man.
You're a guy who likes to have fun. But like Brett Hull takes it to another level.
I party for a living, and I teach people how to party. and that guy can come right along with me any day. He keep up with the best of them.
I party for a living, and I teach people how to party. That's it, man. You know what I've said about Fast Eddie's? It's a mood-changing experience. I've never been in there and looked around and seen anybody in a bad mood. You might see them walking in with a frown, but boy, once they say, and there's always groups of people. They could be mad at their boss or their dog, and all of a sudden they go into Fast Eddie's, and they just, nobody's having a bad time.
Yeah, you definitely forget about your troubles. There's no windows for a reason, man. You leave the world up behind you when you walk in, and it's definitely coming in a bad mood. You leave out of there 12 hours later, you've been laughing all 12 of them.
And I know you love baseball, and you're hanging with Mike Shannon, you're down at Cardinal games, but I think I've sensed this, and I've seen you down there in recent years, certainly with the Cup run, it's been fun, but you've kind of gravitated towards hockey, and there was a night they were fighting back. I was at the TV job, and we were texting, and you said, "Man, I like this team because they've got a little bit of balls, and they'll push back."
I love the way they take care of each other too. It's fun to watch, man. They're really on it. It's just a work team. They're just a very. They got a lot of spirit in the team attitude. Dude, these guys are good, man. They're really good.
And it's fun for the city, you know? I mean, I grew up here. Absolutely. You grew up here. Everybody's got like 3 Cardinal shirts in their closet, maybe more.
Yep.
And now all of a sudden you go to the store, you go to Fast Eddie's, everybody's wearing Blues gear.
It's amazing, man. I tell you, you go places where you would have always seen 10-1, and now it's it's 10-3. You know, if you count the whatever the ratio is, and the Blues people are popping up, man. It's coming out. They're getting into it. More and more new people are watching it. It's cool. You know, it took some winning to do it, but that's what gets them there.
Everybody loves a winner. Here's what people ask me. They say, what are you going to eat when you go to Fast Eddie's? I'm like, I'm going to probably work my way through the menu if I hang for a couple hours. But they go, what about Eddie? If you're there all the time, what do you order? Do you have a go-to?
I still have go-to. I order the bratwurst, and then I order the Big Elwood and fries. You got to have our fries. But you have the bratwurst and the Big Elwood are original to the place. You can't get them anywhere else. And you can't go wrong, I promise.
And the doors open at 1 o'clock Monday through Thursday, 11 o'clock on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They've got live music going every single day. I've been there on the weekends where there's live music in back. There's live music on the patio. Party never stops at Fast Eddie's.
Pretty cool.
We'll talk to you soon, my man.
Hey, man. Thanks a lot.
Triad Bank, the neighborhood-friendly bank located in Frontenac on Clayton Road. They're just west of Lindbergh. Real easy access off Highway 64. Get to Lindbergh and you are there. Founded in 2005, a wide range of commercial and personal banking services. And how about this? They actually have people behind the counter. People there ready to greet you, ready to help you. Business owners looking to expand? Talk to the bank based in St. Louis. Those decisions are being made here. How frustrating is that? You're trying to get a loan for your business and the decision is made in New York or Los Angeles, not with Triad Bank. You can find out more at triadbanking.com. Home equity lines of credit, 5-star rated bank, $360 million in assets. Check them out, triadbanking.com.
Less than an hour from St. Louis, it's Greenville University. Founded in 1892, this liberal arts institution offers pre-med, offers online student involvement. Yeah, that's right. They'll get involved in local businesses, immersed in the community. A great little town of Greenville, Illinois, less than an hour from St. Louis if you're looking to get away for college, but maybe don't want to go too far. It's right up the road from St. Louis. Great professors, really a great experience. Kids involved in the athletics, but again, everybody is really immersed in what they're doing on the campus at all times. Greenville.edu for more information about this great institution.
We went blue!
As always, the great Brett Hull bringing us back. We do a little FOP, friend of Panger. And this, all right, I like to look at the roster when you were with the Hawks in the late 80s. And I honestly didn't realize that your coach was Mike Keenan. I don't know how I missed that along the way. So it may not be a friend of Panger, but what was your experience? A lot of St. Louis stories for years about Keenan. How about for you as a young goalie in Chicago?
The year before Mike took over, I had a coach named Bob Murdoch. And goalie coach Wayne Thomas, and Daryl Sutter was our assistant coach that year. And Wayne Thomas single-handedly went to bat for me with the Wirtz family and with the Pulfords to say, if I'm the goalie coach, I'm picking the goalies, right? And they said yes, and he said, well, then Darren Pang and Bob Mason are going to be the goalies. You know, Jimmy Waite goes back to junior, and Eddie Belfour goes to the minors. He's not ready yet. So I had a guy that went to bat for me and gave me all the confidence in the world to play in the NHL. Then the next year, after our playoff loss to St. Louis, I believe that was the first ever seven-game series that the Blues had beat the Blackhawks, Greg Millen in the net for St. Louis, and I was in the net for Chicago. And so it was a surprise to us because I thought we were doing, you know, getting better. Anyway, they fired him, and they brought in Mike Keenan. And I will tell you this, that no man has sucked the life out of me more than Mike Keenan. He absolutely took the love I had for hockey, the passion I had for going to the rink, and he used a big syringe and he sucked it right out of my body, and I'll never forget that. So there were some things that he did that were well. There were some things that he did that were kind of crazy to get the best out of the team, and then there were just far too many times where he took too many individuals that were good players, and instead of coaching them up, he coached them down, and for no apparent reason. And so that was my experience. So I have similar experiences with Mike Keenan as fans in St. Louis and players in St. Louis had. So we've got something in common, even though I never played for the Blues. And that was it. And then I ended up playing a couple of years, and then I ended up retiring because of my knee injury. And Mike continued on. And, boy, as luck would have it, Martin, I got into television and radio, and I had a microphone, and then I got to say whatever I wanted about him. It was unbelievable. It was a stroke of genius. So I had some fun with that, and criticized him whenever it was you know, plausible, and gave him credit whenever he needed some credit going his way. But it was an interesting time in my life, and it challenged me in a great big way.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt. You know, certain coaches like to push, and they're tough, and there's nothing wrong with that. But then when there's sort of like a meanness, that's kind of there's sort of the difference there. I'm wondering if you ever sat with Hully and told stories.
Oh yeah, yeah, we all absolutely we all have. But with all the talk coming out about coaches, you know, and what they've done, a lot of times, you know, I think back at that brief experience I had with Mike, and, you know, Mike had a lot of things thrown at him, too. I mean, he challenged players, but players challenged him. I know one night I got pulled early at a hockey game, and I was so upset. I was getting pulled left, right, and center. It didn't matter how the game was going. And I remember taking off my mask on that bench, and I threw it hard. And I was actually a little afraid, as it was about 5 feet from his head, thinking that mask was going to hit him right in the back of the head. I could be in trouble. But it didn't happen. It did graze his back of his shoulder, and he just stared at me. And I mean, he made everybody angry. He made everybody not act the way they would normally act. I remember one time he was leaning on the bench. We were in Minnesota, and he hadn't played Denny Savard, and Denny Savard had enough. He hadn't played for 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 minutes. And he's looking back, and Keenan wouldn't put him on the ice until Denny Savard used his elbow and got him right in the midsection, toppled over Mike Keenan, and Denny Savard called out the next centerman. He went on the ice, and he never came off until the next whistle. So, I mean, for as much as a guy like Mike gave it to other guys, boy, he took it back in return. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, this is like a lump of coal. I was going to end with some Christmas thoughts, but you know what, Panger? You and the family have a great holiday. Enjoy it. And thank you for being Professor Pang. Thank you for the driving tips. And happy holidays to you and the entire family.
My pleasure, Martin. You as well, and to all the listeners out there, have a safe and happy holidays. And we'll talk to you during the break.
That's our great friend Darren Pang with us here on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Pucks with Bernie and Panger, presented each week by Marie Davila Senior Living, Triad Bank, Urban Chestnut, Greenville University, and Fast Eddie's Bon Air.